I'm David Hillier, and you are listening to the Highbury Squad.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Highbury Squad, episode number 5. It's so exciting, and I'm really, really excited to announce we're now on Acast and iTunes, so you can listen to us there. Right, today I've got with me Sophie, my sister from another mister.
Yo, 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 babe, what up, what up?
What up, what up? Well, we've won. We can actually talk about a win for a change. How nice is that? Oh, my God, she's got a bell. She's got a bell.
We got points on the board. It's just like making a sales. When a hot sales guy makes some sales, they ring the bell in the office. So ring the bell, people. We've got points.
Yeah, right. Anyway, moving on swiftly to our man, Mr. Super Kevin Campbell. Hello, Kev.
Hello, ladies. How are you?
I'm all right now. I've heard your dulcet tones, babe.
Oh, my God. Listen to them. Yes, Kevin, I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
Are you well, Amanda? Look, can I get it in now, please? Can I just get it out of the way?
Do it, Kev.
Do it.
To say, Amanda Princess Guna got the West Ham versus Arsenal score correct. She said 3-1, and she got it bang on yesterday. So, congratulations, Amanda. It's killing me to say it, but congratulations.
It's killing you to say it. Is it killing you to say it?
Oh, I was 4-1.
I know.
I wanted five more minutes.
I said that we wouldn't lose against City. I got that wrong. I said we'd lose at Chelsea. I got that right. And I said we'd get 3-1. I should have put money on it. Do you know how many people have said to me, did I put money on it? But I said it on the pod and I said it 3 days later. I just had a feeling. I didn't think we'd go to 4. But I didn't actually think that they would get any more than 1. But there we go. Thank you. And we have a special guest with us today. Now, I have actually podcasted with this man before, and we've had a good time, haven't we, Mr. Hillier?
Yeah, and can I clarify, it was a good time on the podcast. We didn't have a podcast and then a good time. Just to get that straight, I am married with children. I'm not available. I'm not on the market. And congratulations for getting the score right. I think you owe Danny Welbeck a big, big thank you for that.
Yes, we had a really good time on the podcast. I do apologise, Mr. David Hillier. Welcome to the Highbury Squad.
Welcome.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure to meet you, Sophie, as well. And Big KC, always a pleasure to meet
always
my bestie in football.
Always good to be around your ills, mate. Let's have a good show.
Mate. We go back a very long way, so it should be good. Good.
It's going to be like
Hills. Are you playing a little behind Kevin today? Is this the tactics? Are you playing a little behind Kevin? Is that what we're doing? Deploying the tactics?
No, I think it just goes back to our playing days. You know, Kev done the attacking, I done the defending, and I just tidied up all the mess around the place, and you know, got the glory. So it's going to be the same today.
That is so Kevin now. Honestly, that's what we do.
Hey, any good striker needs service. And Dave used to service me. So I'm happy.
On the pitch, Kevin. Yes. On the pitch, he used to service you. Yes. Yes.
I used to look after
him. What else do you reckon I'm talking about?
Oh, I don't know, Kevin.
Stop this nastiness.
Kevin. Yeah. Anyway,
Put it together, host.
As I am still the oldest on this pod, respect your elders and the ref, hopefully. I won't have to be much of a ref today. But you can follow Mr. Hillier at Dave Hillier with double R at the end on Twitter. Right, you lot. We're going to talk about the game that we've just played, West Ham. We won a game, our first game of the season. I was waiting for the bell, but we're not having a bell, obviously.
I already played the bell.
The bell's played. Right, okay. Okay.
You don't play the bell, you ring the bell.
Yeah, you ring the bell. You're going to have to bear with me. I'm exhausted today. Soph.
Yes, babe.
Just talk to me about, I'm going to talk to you about the team selection. When you first saw it, what did you think?
I think if there's any beef that Arsenal fans have with Emery, and no one should really have a beef with him at this point, I think we still need to let him ease into the job. You know, get a few more games under our belt. But there are a couple of positions that I feel are causing the most debate and discussion among Guna fans. One of those being, does Lacazette start in the team? And the other one being, does Torreira start from the beginning? I don't think we have too many options at the back. The only other position I can think of that is causing some debate is Lichtsteiner and Bellerin. But after Bellerin's performance yesterday, I think he's making an argument to solidify his place in the team, even though his defensive work has left a little to the imagination. So in terms of lineup, those would be the glaring debates that I could see ahead of the game. The great thing about Emery, unlike Wenger, is if he doesn't like what he's seeing based on his team selection, he changes it very quickly. And I think as an Arsenal fan, that's very refreshing. I don't know the last time Wenger made a substitution at halftime, unless there was, you know, a red card or a or an injury. So even if he does make a mistake, he rectifies it pretty quickly. And I think as an Arsenal fan, that is something that bodes really well as we go into the rest of the season.
Can I ask a question? It's an important one, actually. After yesterday's performance, I don't think we performed as well as we did for 20, 25 minutes at Chelsea in that
agreed,
first half.
Agreed, yeah.
But the balance of the team doesn't seem to be right.
Yep.
Do you agree with that?
Yep, I do, once. I do agree
right,
with you.
So is the balance wrong because Lacazette doesn't play? Or is the balance wrong because of the midfield?
Okay, but hold on. Can I jump in there before we get Hills to respond to this? Because there's the balance of the team, and then the biggest thing that I wanted to speak to you and David about today is it the balance of the team, or is it not having the talent to execute the tactics that he wants to right now? I think there's two different conversations, but they all wrap around the same subject.
Well, it's the same thing, really, isn't it? Because
you can have balance in the team and deploy tactics that are to the team you've selected versus just deploying your tactics because they're your tactics.
But we already know that Emery plays a 4-2-3-1 system. So the players have to fit the system, not the other way around.
But I also heard, you know, especially from my La Liga contacts, that Emery is the type of coach that not only deploys his 4-2-3-1 tactics, but he's also a coach that adapts his tactics to the player and the talent pool that he has. And that I haven't seen as of yet.
Okay. Well, right. Listen.
That's exactly the point.
Okay. That is. And Dave, what's your view on it?
Yeah, I'm just sort of listening into Terry. I think you're all kind of right in a way. Looking at it on paper, Monreal's a left back. Socrates is a central defender. So is Mustafi. And Bellerin's supposed to be a right back. You've got two players in front of them, Granit Xhaka and Guendouzi, who are both defensive midfielders. Maybe Guendouzi can do a little bit more going forward. He's got a bit of a better passing range.
Xhaka is not a defensive midfielder.
No, we'll get to that in a minute, Kev. But he's being put in there as one. And I think his abilities, he can't be anywhere else in the team. You can't put him any further forward because he's not creative enough.
Yeah.
The three in front of them, you've got on paper Ramsey starting in the hole, it's not a bad position for him. Mkhitaryan's out on the right. It won't be on the left. Aubameyang up front. For me, it's like what Sophie said. It's the decisions that players make on the pitch, the wrong decisions, are having an effect on the others. And that's unbalancing the side. Hector Bellerin spends far too much time in front of Mkhitaryan. He tries to anticipate things and not, when really you should be a defender first. So he's thinking, well, if I get in that position and Aaron Ramsey wins it from the high press, I'm in. It don't work like that. You've got to get the high press to the point where you've actually got the ball and then players can move. So I think that they're affecting each other. Totally agree about Granit Xhaka. Can't understand why Torreira's not starting in games at the moment. Maybe there's the manager just feels he's not ready. And personally, I think you've got to put fear into teams, and fear comes from pace up front. Kev will tell you that pace will push the other team back. So you've got to play Aubameyang and Lacazette together. You've got to try and frighten the team from the start.
Dave, can I just ask you a question? Why is Lacazette not playing from the start?
I don't know. I don't know if he fits into that system on paper, but definitely in my mind, I would have him playing slightly wide, but he could he could alternate with Aubameyang. When Kev played up front with Wrighty, one would come short, one would make the channel run.
Mm.
You know, one would play in that area. They can do that together. And they've worried teams when they've done it. But for me, the biggest thing about our side at the moment is no one's worried about us. No one's scared about us. They're coming to the Emirates and they're playing their own game. West Ham, after two poor performances against Bournemouth and getting battered at Liverpool, mm-hmm. all of a sudden think, I watched Arsenal play last week. I reckon we could do these. And they play a different game. Everyone says, oh, West Ham played better. West Ham didn't play better. They was just more confident of playing against Arsenal.
Mm.
And there's no cohesion between the side. They're not working as units. We used to work in little units. So when one went to press, the other person, I mean, Jules Graham used to say you're on a bit of string. So as soon as one went out to the right to close down, to show them inside or outside, whatever the plan was, you knew that you had backup. If that player went on his own, the next player decided, I'm not going to fall into that trap. I'm not going to get sucked in. I'm going to be careful, safe first and play off of a defensive setup. Arsenal don't play off that at the moment. And the quality of the player is not good enough to drop deep and play exactly. that kind of football. That's why Granit Xhaka gets caught out all the time. He should not be getting a ball off of Hector Bellerin in the middle of there because he don't turn quick enough. He don't lay the ball off quick enough and he don't go forward with a pass. All he does is gives it back to Hector Bellerin, who's actually not there anymore because he's run halfway up the wing. And it's Mkhitaryan who's there. We saw that against Chelsea. For the first 20 minutes, Mkhitaryan's head nearly spun off. The amount of turning he was doing, looking around himself, he didn't know what he was doing. And that was all because Bellerin was just doing what he does up the pitch.
Dave, Kev and Soph had a massive disagreement last week about Bellerin. Sophie thinks that he could possibly play on the wing and Kev doesn't. What's your view on this? Because there's a lot on Twitter at the moment about the fact that he's not great in defence, but he is creating our chances.
We simply, that system doesn't employ a winger. So how could you have Bellerin as a winger?
And that's what Kev's argument was.
That system employs four attacking players. Right. And hopefully a defensive midfield player that can go and join in and one that just sits and tidies up in front of his central defenders.
But I'm not saying that he should play David on in a 4-2-3-1 system. This goes to what I was saying at the very beginning of the show. Emery right now needs to adapt his tactics based on the talent that he has. And I don't think we have the talent for a 4-2-3-1. And Sokratis and Mustafi, who are getting killed, are so exposed because they don't have that protection. And I don't think we have the talent. And Sokratis apparently is third in our speed test, which I heard yesterday, which I couldn't quite believe. But yet on the pitch, when you see him, he's so exposed. And I feel like this is where Emery needs to step in even more so as a coach tactically, which is what I was saying to Kev was, you know, maybe you have to adapt. You have to adapt to the players you have. And maybe it's going to take two transfer windows to actually get the talent that we have in to be able to deploy that. Will he survive it though? I don't know.
Sophie. Okay. Hector Bellerin as a right midfielder. Is he the best right midfielder at the club?
Okay. What
now,
natural?
Just answer the question, please. Is he okay. the best right midfielder at the club?
Okay, so right now,
Is he the best right midfielder at the club? You want him to play on the wing? Is he better than Reece Nelson? Is he better than Welbeck? Is he better than Mkhitaryan if he plays out there?
Currently, going forward, based on the fact that Reece Nelson can't get in the team, and honestly,
forget anybody who's going in and out of the team.
Yes, in my opinion, right now, he's far more effective going forward than Mkhitaryan is, 100%.
Okay. Yes. Can I come in there, Kev? We're not going to double team you here. I'll just tag Kev out of it and I'll jump in. Hector Bellerin as a right midfielder's job would be from at least box to box. And the most important part of his job would be probably, delivery, getting balls in the box. That is the only part of the job he can actually do. He can't do any of the other stuff between the box.
What is the other stuff?
It's tracking runners. It's anticipating play. It's supporting his fullback.
Who can do that in the team, David? Who at this point does that in the team? Who does it?
Alex Iwobi does it on the other side for Nacho.
Welbeck's better than him at it. Ozil's better than him at it. Mkhitaryan's better than him at it. Aubameyang's better than him at it.
Then why is Bellerin in the team? According to you guys, then why is Bellerin even in this team? And by the way, in the last two games, I think Bellerin's had more assists than any other player.
That's what I'm saying. Because he only does his work in the glory end. In the last 30 yards of the pitch, he can come to life. He can play a little 1-2 and get a cross in.
On a serious note, when you guys were playing, okay, and maybe I'm talking out of my rear end here, but this whole creative players tracking back and doing all of this defensive work, why has it become such an obsession in the game over the last few years? Why can't creative players just be brilliantly creative and other players in the team have more of a defensive responsibility?
That's exactly how it should be. I'm exactly not saying that. Hector Bellerin is a right back. He should defend for 90% of the game. He should be thinking about his defensive duties. And then when he gets the opportunity, or he's won his battle and he's dominated that player who's playing out on the left, he's got him on toast and there's a little bit of room to go forward. Nacho should stay back, support his back two players, his other two central defenders, so that they don't get dragged all the way across the pitch and they're isolated in a corner, which we find Mustafi and Socrates, they're right next to each other, isolated right on the corner of the box. And then the other side's exposed because Nacho's gone. It's about appreciation of the players in your side. And at the moment, they play the games that they want to play for some reason. And I think Emery needs to just get them in and say, look, these are limitations I'm going to put on you. That Hector Bellerin, you do not need to be on the left-hand side of the penalty box. And Nacho, I saw yesterday, was in the penalty box. And yes, he won a header that led to a goal. But if that doesn't happen and he doesn't win that ball, all of a sudden, our two central defenders who are not up to it, because you talk about Socrates having that speed. Listen, your mind is the most important thing. And if your mind's not quick and your mind doesn't make the first decision, you can be the fastest player in the world. But if you're not reading the game properly, you'll get slaughtered. You can't react as a defender. You've got to anticipate. You've got to be looking at worst case scenario. That player's always going to lose the ball in front of you. So what position should you be in? There's certain rules, fundamental rules that this team doesn't seem to follow. And I think they're individual decisions that the players are making because of the conditioning over the last few years of being with Arsene Wenger, this free, fluid football. And a simple side like Brighton will go to Arsenal, will be structured, will be strong, will play off of defence, and they will give Arsenal trouble. And there's like 10 teams in that league that will do that. And Arsenal will find themselves mid-table, winning as many as they lose.
Look, what happened at the back end of... We won the last away game last season against Huddersfield. But for the rest of the back end of that season, we won no away games. The organisation and communication within the team is woeful, which is why we get done defensively. It's not just one thing. It's more than that. But I've got one question to ask Sophie on the Bellerin situation. Do you reckon if Bellerin wasn't there and Lichtsteiner was there, do you reckon Lichtsteiner could provide the service that Bellerin provides?
Yes. And I actually have another theory to throw back at you and David, because Lichtsteiner is a player that I wanted at Arsenal 5 years ago. I think there are a few of us that would have loved to have seen Lichtsteiner come to the Emirates when that opportunity kind of came to us. And I feel like he brings a certain level of experience. And do you know what else I like about him? Is a bit of trouble on the pitch. He gives a little bit of shit to the opposition, to the referee, and he puts himself about a little bit. And I don't think we have enough players like that, which is also why I want Torreira to start as well. But let me throw this at you, because as much as I love Welbeck and as much as I love Mkhitaryan and as much as I love a lot of these other attacking midfielders that we've talked about, what if, because to me, Bellerin going forward is exceptional, and what he provides is a pace that not a lot of players in the Premier League have, okay? He can do a little bit better with his distribution. But what if in this time where we are experimenting and we have some players out injured and we have some issues, what if Lichtsteiner played in that right-back role and Bellerin played in front of him?
Yeah, but so one thing you're doing is you're tinkering with the system. Emery is not going to play 4-4-2. He's going to play 4-2-3-1. Bellerin is not... He's doing okay going forward because the system is built for attacking fullbacks.
All the more reason to play Lichtsteiner in his role and Bellerin ahead of him.
No, but you're not listening to what I just said.
Who are the natural wingers in... Who is a natural winger in modern-day football? Tell me, boys. Who... The position is dead. Is it not a dead position? Is it not a dead position in modern football? A natural winger? Tell me.
Douglas Costa. You know, members at Bayern Munich, Iron Robin, all those. They're wingers. But the position...
Robin's an inverted winger.
Iron Robin is an inverted winger.
Is he not?
Hold on. No, his position has changed because he's a forward. He's not a right back trying to fill in as a wide man. He's a forward. It's totally different. Look, Bellerin is a right back. He's not a forward.
He's a wide forward. Sane, Sterling, Mahrez, Mane, Eriksen, Villiers, Sanchez, Martial. They're wide forwards. They're not forwards. No, they're not.
Can Marshall play straight through the middle, yes or no? Can Marshall play in behind the striker, yes or no?
Martial?
Yes.
No, he's a wide forward to me. Can't play behind the front
man. Marshall has played in behind the striker. Marshall has played striker.
But he's so much more effective when he's coming off the flank and he's moving in.
I'm asking you
a question to you and David, right? I don't want to monopolize the conversation on this whole Bellerin issue. And I know Amanda's probably fallen asleep in the corner there, but on a note, listen, the traditional winger as we've known it is almost dead. These players that I've mentioned that we're talking about, Son, Eriksen, Sanchez, Martial, Pedro, Sane, they're wide forwards. They're not Aguero, they're not Firmino, they're not Kane, they're not Giroud, they're not Lukaku, they're not, Aubameyang can play both.
What you're mentioning is the strikers. You're mentioning strikers, my dear.
The strikers are, okay, so I told you who a striker is.
They are David, forwards.
They're wide forwards, they're not traditional, they're not forwards, they're not, is Kane the same as Martial? No.
But Martial is still a forward.
He's a wide forward. He's not a centre forward.
I think we're getting away from the point with all these other players. For me, at this moment in time, whether or not Hector Bellerin is exceptional, I don't see exceptional play from him. I don't see he hasn't got a trick. He's got a very limited range of passing. He doesn't take two or three players on. You won't see him doing what Aaron Robin does, ghosting past people, dropping his shoulder, going inside and out. His main and only thing that he can do is he can exploit a bit of space behind someone because of his pace in mainly 1-2 situations, so give and goes, which when a defender commits, and like Chelsea, Alonso was left on stranded on his own by... with a long hair at the back. I always forget him. With the dreads, the curly hair. David Luiz.
Right?
So
yeah,
he didn't get over and cover. So there was a lot of space for Mkhitaryan to play a little ball in there and for Bellerin to expose it. I think it's a bit rose-tinted glasses with Hector. I think he does that little bit in the last third, but really his all-round game, if you analyse the things he can do as a player, he ain't no Anders Limpar. He ain't got feet like... that he can dance round people. His skill base is quite limited. It's effective in that final third, but that's why he couldn't operate as a right-sided midfield player, because the other things in the game I just do not believe he's got. And I don't think Hector Bellerin would be coveted by many teams at the moment, because they need more than that.
Which is why we should have signed Mahrez or Dembélé, which is why we failed the transfer market.
Right back. I think he should play at right back, because then that would allow the person in front of them, whoever it is, whether we say they're a wide player or they're an attacking player, their role in that side is to be a right-sided midfield player, to give width when they can. I think that would allow them to actually do their job. So if you played Lichtsteiner there, he would make a more defensive decision 9 times out of 10. He would support from behind that player, and the Mkhitaryans would then be able to go on little runs, because that's what Mkhitaryan can do. He can do what Hector can't do. He can go past two or three players. He can drop his shoulder. He can do the 1-2 at the end as well. But I think that would allow them players to do their game. And it goes back to what you said in the beginning, that you should have a structured job. And if your title, your role says you're a defender, that is the first thing you should be thinking about at every point in the game. You should be thinking, am I defensively all right? Am I defensively all right? And then when there's a space to expose, you might be able to sneak into it. Hector wants to be in that space all the time and not do the defensive part.
Dave,
that's why he can't be a right back.
Sorry, Dave, can I ask you, when he first joined us, we couldn't be without him, and he did do his defensive duties.
It was totally different.
But
I
what's
agree.
Happened? Why has he changed?
Because he believes his own shit. He hangs around with all the made in Chelsea lot. And he does, seriously. I'll tell you that now. He the pictures of him in all these this stupid clothing and that. He's more about himself than he is about the game. For me, he walked off the pitch yesterday.
He's
the
one
player to walk off with his shirt off, right? Because in that game, he'd had an assist and he'd done all right. So he walks off the pitch with his shirt off. What's all that about? No one else did it.
Okay.
No one else did it. Why is he posing and doing that?
Because he's more focused as a fashionista as opposed to a right back. And I tweeted about that, last week. And my argument for Bellerin is based on where I see his strengths are and based on the talent pool that we have in the team, Kevin David, because we failed as a club to not go out and maybe sign a Mahrez or a Dembélé.
But you can't have someone that only performs in 10% of the game in the final third. You can't have that.
So as a club, did we not fail by not going out and getting the right talent in order to help Emery and support his tactics?
People,
we failed as a club.
The top
failed.
Players at the moment do not want to come to Arsenal because they don't see them as challenging for those top positions. And the top players out there that are commanding the big money and all that, it's not about money. They just want to come there to play the best football with the best players. And they look at that side and with that side, they're thinking, do you know what? I'd rather go Liverpool. I'd rather go, I dare say it, Tottenham, although I think Tottenham are kind of the same sort of side. I think they're flattering to deceive a little bit because they had a good defence last year, and that was their... That held them up in the league massively. That allowed their forwards to go and be as glorified as they was, the Canes, the Allies and that. But people don't want to come. Top players don't want to come to Arsenal at the moment. The fact that there's no Champions League, and I think they look at it and their agent will say, do you know what? You can do just as well at this club. And, you know, if you don't get that club, just stay where you are until that move comes about. Because, you know, and that's what Emery's got to address. And he's got to go into his, and over the next couple of transfer windows, I think, you know, he will target players that over the last few years he's watched. He knows that they're going to grow into these players. And it's going to be like when Arsene Wenger started. He's going to have to find a few gems that come in and do their job. Guendouzi might be that person, but he's not quite the finished article. And he's been chucked straight in there, the young lad. And he, you know, it's tough. You can have one good game or one and a half good games, but it gets to you. And we're just going to be in that period when we're waiting for three or four diamonds to come in and then it will get going again. That's my belief. I don't think Arsenal is their first choice club anymore.
Dave, can I ask you then, after discussing all this, and we have discussed this at length, which is so interesting, especially coming from you two as ex-players. Can you tell me your first 11? If you were in charge now with what we have in the squad, what would be your first 11?
My first 11,
yeah,
probably wouldn't be, and I agree with Sophie, because of personnel and who we've got at the club, I would have Monreal. I think he's probably the best defensive-minded defender we've got. He makes the odd rash decision, but I'd have him. Well, Koscielny is not fit, so, you know, are we including players that are not fit, or are we saying...
No, that's available now.
I think it has to be the two defenders that are central defenders that are playing, but they need a serious amount of work. I would have Lischteiner at right back. I would have Guendouzi and Torreira in the midfield.
Yeah.
I'd still push to try and get Mesut Ozil on form. I would have him in the side. I would have Mkhitaryan in the side because I think he can change games at one end of the pitch if he's allowed to do that and doesn't have to keep going back. And I'd have Aubameyang and Lacazette in the side. That would be my 11.
Kev?
That's my 11 too.
All right.
Every single one. Petr Cech in goal.
Yeah, I'd keep with Petr Cech because I think...
Yeah, Petr Cech's been getting some stick experience of late, but I'd keep him in.
I'd just do that, but I certainly wouldn't have... And then try and play the kind of football where Sokratis goes outside of the box, deeper than the 18-yard line to receive the ball off of Cech, and Mustafi splits to the other side because then that just pushes Bellerin up the pitch. I would have a much more restricted plan of play from them positions and just try and get the ball, focus on getting the ball into those four forwards and supporting them mm-hmm. as forward players and the rest of them do their job.
Which is why Torreira really should start because he also gives a lot more protection to the centre-backs.
And he's mobile, he's little, he can drop his shoulder and go past someone from that position.
I think with Torreira, we all agree that Torreira should start and none of us really understand why, but maybe he's just easing him in to the Premier League.
It's time to throw him in.
How many points? How many points can you throw away by just easing someone in? And you said he makes changes and I respect him for that.
Yeah.
And that's what happened with Ozil last week. He didn't like being told, A, you get off the pitch after 60 minutes, you're not doing it. And I really wish that when he went in that dressing room, the manager told him why he pulled him off. That would have peed him off.
Mm.
Yeah. And then he goes in on Friday and finds he's not in the next starting lineup. And he's had a diva moment. That's it. And that's what he's done.
So do you believe he's not injured then? Do you believe that?
No, he's not injured.
No, last season, when he Sosa got injured on a Friday last season, I have complete knowledge that the fact that he went into the manager and he said, I don't really feel like playing this weekend. I've had a lot of pressure on me and I don't feel like I want to play. And then he didn't even train that morning. He got a plane home, or back to wherever his main base is, and didn't even stay for the game or do anything. If we was injured or not well, if we couldn't be around the players, we wouldn't attend the game. But 99% of the time, we'd be behind the dugout, In the players' seats, watching that game, supporting our side. That's what we would do. And for anyone to leave on a Friday and not even watch their team at the weekend, I'm not having that. That's a player who thinks he's bigger than the club. And that's the trouble. Players have now feel like they can do that, be bigger than clubs. And that's what Emery's got to address.
David, I love that you've brought this up and I love that you've mentioned it because I've been wanting to ask you and Kev this question. And when I mentioned on Twitter that I have a question for you, it was built around this. And I agree with you. I think Ozil is a player that shines in a team like Real Madrid when he has other great players around him. Germany, other great players around him. He has been asked to be a leader at Arsenal, but he doesn't have leadership capabilities. I actually think, and perhaps this is wrong of me to even suggest, but he seems to me like a person who is a bit bipolar. He's up, he's down. He might be depressed. He's weak mentally. He doesn't handle adversity very well. And now he's got his 300 grand a week. Okay. He's acting like he is a little bit bigger than the club. And I love Ozil and I think he's shown moments of absolute brilliance. But if you do that against Ludo Goretz, that's fine. But can you do it against Man United, Man City, Liverpool, Tottenham and Chelsea?
He only plays when we're winning. But on the flip side of that, and I don't want to slag off any Arsenal fan, but when you go to games, it has become the trend now that the crowd only sing when we're winning. And when we're not, the support, what players need, which players depend on, and the buzz that the crowd give them when they do get onto them and like they're singing and they're chanting and they're singing the Arsenal songs, the lift that gives players is immense. And when Ozil's not doing it, he can hear every single person in the crowd singularly that goes, You know, I've been there. I've had bad games and I can hear one shout out of 1,000 and I can pick it out. You're rubbish. You're having a shit game. And that don't make you feel good. And what they need is players need support in that, especially if they're on the edge, like you say, of being, having that weakness, you know, that sort of that anxiety, like, oh, I don't know if I can really do it today because all the pressure's on me. Go and tell the manager you don't want the captaincy. You just want to play free. You just want to go out there and be free if that's going to bother you.
Yeah, but
I don't think it's money.
So did we miss money, did we miss Ozil? Kev, did we miss Ozil? Like, did we miss Ozil in this game? Everyone keeps yelling at me and says, look at his assists, look at his passes, look at his stats. He's so important to the team. For me, sometimes some of those stats are a little overblown. So Kev, you know, when we're generally bad and yet still miss an Ozil who has been really bad, does that show you how bad we are as a team right now? Do we really?
We're in transition. Everybody knows that. And a firing Mesut Ozil could be an influence in any team in the world when he's on block, when he's great. But the problems are he isn't always there. My theory is this. When he came to Arsenal, Arsene Wenger were going to get the players to compliment Mesut Ozil in order to make sure he's firing at the best of times. I don't think the supporting cast has been there. We've been crying out for defensive midfielder for years and it was never brought. We brought Granit Xhaka in thinking he's a defensive midfielder. And then all of a sudden we find out he's not a defensive midfielder. So, I mean, the last one we really had there was Gilberto, you know, and before that was Vieira. So until those things get addressed, Mesut Ozil is going to struggle in certain games. But here's the thing. When Mesut Ozil signs his contract, and becomes the highest paid player at Arsenal, that should tell him something. He signed a contract. Now the pact is you've got to perform like you do for Arsenal, like you do for Germany. That's the trade-off.
But Kev, he is performing for Arsenal like he did for Germany in the World Cup. He's doing exactly the same. But you mentioned stats, right? Yesterday, can I just, you mentioned stats about would Mesut Ozil have benefited the side yesterday if he was playing good, obviously. And in Arsenal stats, the player stats say from an attacking point of view that the player with the most key passes in the game, including assists, was Aubameyang with 4. Okay? That's it. Our midfield players, our creative midfield players, Alex Iwobi, 1. Aaron Ramsey, 2. Okay? They're the 2. Mkhitaryan, none. West Ham, Philippe Anderson, 3. Antonio, 2. Sanchez, 2. Snodgrass, 2. So those players that are not really in them players' leagues of ours, from looking historically at what our players have done, where they've been, what they've achieved as players, they've done better than us. So did we miss Mesut Ozil? We missed a Mesut Ozil on form. But like Kev's saying, if you're going to ask Mesut Ozil to track back and pick up a runner in a left-back position, or he ain't going to be able to get up and be effective in that position. You want him there and you want the players, like Torreira, to be turning, feeding the ball through the middle of the pitch, so killing the opposite team's, the opposition's press, because that ball there is so important from the defensive midfield to the number 10 position in a player that's playing between the lines, which Mesut Ozil can kill people in the middle of the pitch, not out wide, in the middle. If you can keep him there and you can get the ball to him, he would be able to play in that position week in, week out, and he would have 5, 6, and 7. And I can go to games last year when he had 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 key passes in games and other players around him had 1 and 2. So he is the man, but I don't know if he's in the right place to come and do it at this club with the players that are around him.
Right. Okay. This is fantastic, but we do need to just discuss a little bit about the West Ham game yesterday. Kev, I'm a bit with you on this. I wasn't as impressed in that game as I was when I was at Chelsea for those 20, 25 minutes. I felt it was a little bit unbalanced. I felt we were nervous. You know, I think the fans expected a walkover. I mean, look at our predictions. You had 4-1. Soph had 5-2. I was 3-1. It was high-end scoring. I'm with David on missing Ozil. I was asked this yesterday, and I thought we did, to be honest. But then I am a little bit of an Ozil lover. But just want to go to Kev on this a little bit. I'm a bit intrigued with the Lacazette issue. if you were managing this, would you put him with Aubameyang?
I would. Of course I would. I would play the best players I've got that can score goals have to be in the team.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's fitting them in as one up top and one kind of in the three of the 4-2-3-1, fair enough. I think that kind of happens second half when Lacazette comes on and Aubameyang moves kind of behind. But I think your goal threats have to be on the pitch. They have to be on the pitch. And it seems like Lacazette and Aubameyang have a kind of understanding where they're looking to feed each other. And, you know, that's how we got the second goal yesterday.
Yeah.
Lacazette controlled it. He tried to feed it back, a little reverse pass back, and it hit their central defender and went in. It could have hit Aubameyang, but it hit their central defender, which is good play. I just think we can do that all for 90 minutes as opposed to doing it just when Lacazette comes on.
Well, listen, it was our first win. We got it. It wasn't convincing, and it was against West Ham. We weren't great. And as I said, if they'd have had their boots on, they may have done a lot better than actually they did. Right, you are listening to the Highbury Squad. Get stuck in and have your voice heard at Highbury Squad on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and we're now on Acast and iTunes too. Right, Soph, questions. What have we got?
Okay, the Twitter sphere is abreast with questions. Guna Forever at Sal Duty wants to know, is Alan Shearer right that both Nacho and Bellerin can't be up the pitch at the same time? He talks about cover for Sokratis and Mustafi. Who should provide that? Kev?
Depending on which side the ball is, that fullback has to go in and support. So that means the centre-backs must shuffle across and the fullback has to tuck in to be a free. So he is 100% right about the shuffling across. So if it's on the left, Nacho Monreal has to push in, push on, and Bellerin has to tuck in, which we don't see. Both of them go at the same time, which is ludicrous.
David, what do you think about that?
Listen, I was brought up on the same stuff Kev was, and I'm 100% with that. It's reading the game of football. If it's down the left-hand side with Iwobi or whoever, Aubameyang's got the ball to feet, edge of the box, Iwobi pushes on to play off of him, and he needs to be supported behind by that fullback. So that fullback pushes up the pitch. That means that the one on the other side has to tuck round, because then Sokratis has to go and cover the back of Bellerin, and then Mustafi has to shuffle across, and then Bellerin has to just tuck round. He doesn't have to be in line with him. He can be 10 metres in front of him, but he's always got to be aware that that is the most dangerous space, that crossfield pass, because it exposes the two of them. And also you need one of your DMs just being aware, because if the ball gets lost there and it goes into the front man's feet and everybody's turning and running towards their own goal, your two central defenders are exposed. If they both go forward, like we've seen, I feel so sorry for them, because they don't know whether to go right or left, and they just back off, back off, back off, back off, and then they fall over. We saw it when Morata made that run in the Chelsea game, through the middle of both of them. They was exposed, went right through the middle of them, and Mustafi got back to his feet, and then he just didn't know what to do. His head was spinning, he fell over, and they scored. And it exposes them and exposes their weaknesses as players. So you've definitely got to have one goes, one stays. It's pretty simple.
Okay, so a question that's come up not only in the last few weeks, but probably in the last couple of seasons in terms of what it means for players to wear the shirt. And this is a debate a lot in modern football in terms of players who kiss the badge, and then before you know it, they're transferred to another team. There's no loyalty in football. You don't find the Gerrards and the Giggs and the Adams of the world in modern football today. So a question from Clyde Coe at Clyde Coe 3. In your words, David and Kev, what did it mean to you to wear the Arsenal badge? Do you see the same loyalty and dedication to the team's ethics in the modern player?
Go on, Els.
I do see it in a lot of the modern players, and I think the very top players give everything for their club. I think Aguero gives everything he can every week for his team, and he's one of the best in the world. And he could easily walk a game, but he don't. He works his socks off. He puts himself about. He gets knocked over and he gets up. Does he do it for the badge? I think he does it for his own, for his personal pride and integrity in the way he plays his game. And he wants to do the best he can for whoever he has signed that deal for his employer. And I think most footballers do that. But I think with Arsenal, it is particular to, and historically, players have absolutely loved and died for that club. So there is something very special about where it's like a Scouser growing up and playing for whatever side of the city he came from and putting that shirt on. If you're someone who loved Arsenal as a kid and you get to put that shirt on like Tony Adams did, like I did, like Kev did, like they all did, like Merce did, like Mickey Thomas, you know, like Rocky, we loved just pulling that shirt on. And you played your heart out in that shirt, and you was told this by Pat Rice as a youth team player, you play to get that shirt for next week. That's what you're playing for today. And that was what was bred into us, along with the who you are, what you are and who you represent. But the main thing was you played for that shirt. So when it comes down to Arsenal, definitely we played for the club and loved doing that. Does the modern player do it? I think there may be a little bit of self-gratification in their thought process, but a lot of them do play for the shirt.
Kev?
Let me just add to that. Obviously, we came up through the ranks, and the timing, the times where we came up through was perfect system we came up in. You know, Pat Rice, ex-captain, was our youth team coach and coached us as schoolboys. You know, Vic Akers, who was the kit man and done the women's team and all that kind of thing, he used to coach us as schoolboys. You know, we had loads of ex-players, Stuart Houston and Jordy Armstrong, you know, looked after us as reserves and stuff like that. Terry Burton at the time. So this was all stick. George Graham then came to the club. He was an ex-Arsenal player. So the Arsenal run through the veins. I stood on the terraces. I was just like any other guy who goes to the games. That's what I was. And then I got the opportunity to join Arsenal and then to make the first team, which for me was a godsend. You know, you could bury me after that. That made my life. Do I see it in the modern player? I'll be honest with you. I don't see it in the modern player. And I'm not saying that the modern player doesn't have pride in what they do, but I think the loyalties are different. The loyalties, because it's not, they're not ingrained through the club anymore. They're bought in.
I think that applies a lot, mainly to the Premier League. You drop down in the divisions and you see the players that play, even like the Bristol City lads that grow up playing for Bristol City, and the boy in Rochdale who ends up playing for his home team, and the Barnsley lad who go, I think they have it still. I think it's still in them because they know their limitations and they're happy. They're happy to be picking up whatever they're picking up at them levels. It's still a good money, but it's a good way to earn your money, and it's a great living, and they appreciate that, and their feet are on the ground. And I just think it's kind of lost a bit in the Premier League with the fact that you can, you know, and I said this on a Twitter rant a few weeks ago and got a bit hammered for it, but you can have 3 years in the Premier League, be an average player and not even really getting a side, and people start calling you, you're a club legend, you're this, you're that, and you've got money forever. And it's bullshit. To be a club legend, you've got to play hundreds of games. You've got, like Kev, you've got to leave yourself on that pitch every week, week in, week out, not just on the pitch, on the training pitch.
Yeah.
You've got to leave it out there. And none of it should be about you. It should always be about the team. And I want to end this little bit with a Jordy Armstrong quote that if you go around the stadium, you will see it. It's right next to his picture. And he says, the minute you start thinking about yourself above others on the pitch, you lose that crucial team spirit. And he said, my job is simple. Get up and down the wing and make things happen for my teammates. And if everyone applied that to their position in the team, we would have real team players. But that just doesn't happen now.
100%. Let's ring the bell for that one. He'll smash that one. Okay, so Amanda, I have one for you. It is, after all, a team sport. We're not Roger Federer here, are we? Amanda, here's one from DML at DML Keys. We've seen 3 weeks of the new season. Anyone with eyes will tell you that we still have major problems in central defence. Arnautović literally boss Sokratis and Mustafi to score his goal. I actually felt we got lucky when he went off injured. What do you recommend to fixing the problem with our current squad for now? Amanda.
Oh, do I have to talk about this defence? Well, maybe getting Torreira on to give him some protection might help, because Xhaka doesn't do it. And if you watch West Ham's goal yesterday, Xhaka just let him go. I don't know. So the transfer window's not open. That's why I graded it quite low for what he bought. Because at the end of the day, the defence is atrocious. You can go on about Bellerin like we have done for half an hour. I agree. We've got, oh God, I don't even know. Honestly don't know. I don't know what he can do with this. Lichtensteiner maybe might help, but. There we go.
He's got to sort that in January.
He's got to sort it in January.
He does. Or David and Kevin, 30 seconds each here before we move over to disagree or agree. Do you feel like someone like Mavrobanos deserves a shot at this point? Do we have anything to lose if we introduce him? He showed a lot of great maturity. Positionally, I thought he was superb in the two games he played towards the end of last season. Do we go to someone like him in place of a Mustafi or a Sokratis?
No, I don't think so. I believe the two centre halves haven't been too bad. I just believe that they get exposed too much.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My words.
That's what I believe.
Yeah, you know, I think.
Lichtensteiner, Torreira going in could really help solve a problem.
But I agree totally, because if you look at Bellerin's mistakes don't lead directly to goals normally. Yeah, they did against Liverpool when he did that stupid thing with Mo Salah and tried to control the ball on the halfway line. But normally they don't lead directly to goal. There's normally two or three mistakes, and his is the initial thing that exposes those two central defenders and their weakness. So if you can get a bit of protection around them, get them dropping off each other a little bit and affording a little bit of cover and just, you know, trying to read the game a bit better rather than just play as if they're playing with great players around them, then I think you've got to keep those two in there. You can't play a young lad like Mavropanos. He's not got the credentials to get that team where they need to be.
Hills,
for me.
Everyone, can I just add this? This is really important for us.
Super Kev, you can add whatever you want. You know why? Because you are Super Kev.
Super Kevin Campbell.
This is important. Everybody, we all know about when we see Arsenal playing a high line. We're playing a high line and we tend to get exposed. You can only play a high line if there's pressure on the ball. And you know, any ball over the top, your goalkeeper's got it. But if there's no pressure on the ball, you've got to back off. And I think we got done at Chelsea where the midfielder had the ball and he just played a ball in behind and we got done for it. So if there's no pressure on the ball, we have to back off. We can't squeeze the halfway line. So that's something that,
exactly, mate.
I kind of stood up for the two centre-halves, but they have to realise that as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant point, Kev.
That is like what we said, you know, like, There's fundamental things in football that have to happen in certain situations. You need to be able to recognise those situations. One is if a fullback goes on one side to support the ball, the other one can't go. And the other thing that was drilled into us when we played, which is why we were such a good defensive unit, was no pressure on the ball, drop off a couple of yards. Pressure on the ball, you can squeeze up. And you would have only seen Tony Adams and Baldy running up with their hand in the air when I was up someone's arse in the midfield, or Kev was right on a defender, and if he was on the defender, that allowed me to then squeeze my midfield player so that he couldn't get the ball. And then Tony and Baldy would run up, that player would boot the ball down the pitch, and their forward, who'd been squeezed out of play, would be offside. That's how it works. If they dropped off at that point, when we did that, their forward would have picked up the ball and spun at them, picked it up and run at them. That, or opposite way round, if they'd have stepped up when there was no pressure on the ball, that midfield player or defender would have been able to pick out a pass easy and just put them in. And that's what happened against Chelsea. Fundamental football rules that as a player should have been drilled into you from 14 years of age.
Listen, Guna Nation, if you want to be informed about tactics, formations and football knowledge, listening to this podcast with David Hillier and Kevin Campbell is the answer. Thank you so much for your Twitter questions. We can't do this show without you. You're amazing. Thank you always for listening and participating and having your voice heard. Always get stuck in. The Highbury squad wants you to be part of our football democracy. I'm going to end the Twitter segment before I hand over to my podcast sister, Amanda, for the agree or disagree segment before we close the show because, boys, Walter Welbeck is putting his hat in the ring for Fan of the Week. And as you guys know, we always invite Arsenal fans to come on and join us and have a football debate and discussion. And next week, we'll have a Fan of the Week on. And Walter Welbeck, at AFatGunner007, this was his reasoning why he should be on the show. And only David and Kevin can answer this question and decide if he should be on the show. Here is what he said. I should be Fan of the Week because I'm in love with Amanda. Boys.
Get him on.
No.
Get him on. No. Let's hear what he's got to say. Let's get him on.
Look, I'm the oldest one here. I get the top vote.
No, you're the referee already.
I think get him on there and see how thick his glasses are. Or if he needs to go back to Specsavers. Because that generated about 400 tweets and my phone and my watch were pinging and pinging and pinging. And I was just thinking, Amanda's getting all the glory again. All the glory again. It's all about her.
Mr. Hillier, I used to like you. You know that, don't you?
Listen, I'm with Kev. Me and Kev, we back each other from kids and I'll do it till we die. We've got, you know, that's how it is.
School boys, man. Yeah.
Naughty school boys. Moving on, anyway.
Right.
We're doing an agree or disagree segment.
All right, fight fans, Gooners, agree or disagree time. I'm going to ask Amanda, Kevin, a series of questions. Just a quick fire round. They have to respond with a simple agree or disagree. All right, people, here we go. Emery is better looking than Wenger. Agree or disagree? David?
Agree.
Amanda?
Agree.
Kev?
Agree.
We should wear red socks with our home kit. Super Kev?
Agree.
Amanda?
No, disagree.
Bummer.
Disagree.
Ooh. Kevin Campbell loves Everton more than Arsenal. David Hillier?
Disagree.
Oh, Princess Guna?
Disagree.
Super Kev?
Disagree.
But it does come a close second, doesn't it, Kev?
Very close, yes.
All right, here we go. Guendouzi's hair trumps David Luiz. Amanda?
Oh, agree.
Kev?
I agree. His hair's gone.
Isn't it great? David, don't you just love his hair?
I agree, but I also love Kwame Ampadu's son's hair, Ethan's hair, at Chelsea. But Guendouzi's trumps them both.
He is. He's ready for that L'Oreal contract, sure. All right, here we go. Amanda is a secret
this
scouser.
Is just crap, honestly.
You know it.
Kevin,
David,
just... oh Jesus.
David, agree or disagree that Amanda is a secret scouser?
Yeah, behind the going 89, I was definitely a secret scouser. Whatever.
Yeah, you were.
I disagree.
Thank you, David.
Super Kev, do you agree?
Kevin.
Look, I disagree.
Thank you.
But there's a caveat in there. She roots for Liverpool.
Okay.
Times.
Do you want to finish the context of that? She rooted for Liverpool because she doesn't want City running away with it and having a boring Premier League.
Let's not muddy the water.
That's the truth, Kevin Campbell.
For Liverpool in the week.
Because I didn't want City to run away with it in bloody August.
Whatever.
I mean, we're just saying no one root for anyone unless they're rooting for Arsenal ever.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying, Amanda. That's what we're saying.
God.
All right, moving on. Petr Cech wears Chelsea underwear. David.
Petr Cech wears no underwear.
he's going Commando.
Ooh.
Amanda.
Yeah, he wears Arsenal underwear. I disagree.
Okay. I disagree.
All right, fine. Aubameyang and Lacazette, if given the chance, could be the next Andrew Cole and Dwight York. Kev.
Disagree.
Amanda.
Better. Agree.
Ooh, Hills.
Disagree.
Oh. Sokratis is worse than Mustafi. Kev.
Disagree.
Amanda.
Disagree.
David.
I concur. I disagree.
Nice. Do you like how I'm throwing all your nicknames in there as much as I can throughout this whole segment? Okay. VAR is needed in the Premier League, Super Kev. Agree or disagree?
Disagree.
Amanda?
Disagree.
Hills?
I disagree.
Wow. Look at you guys. All right. Final one. We'll get you out on this one. Monreal should be Arsenal captain. Kev?
Disagree.
Amanda?
Disagree-ish. Go on.
Mr. Hillier.
Disagree.
That is it. That is the end of the segment. You kind of agree on a lot of this stuff, but Monreal should be captain because we need leadership out on the pitch. Amanda, over to you.
Okay. Well, that was fun, Sophie. Except for the part where I'm not a scouser. Anyway, moving on, we have Cardiff coming up on Sunday. 1:30 kickoff, live on TV, away. I just want a quick prediction from all of you. Obviously, I'm going to be right. Kevin, what do you reckon?
I think it's going to be a really tough game. I think Neil Warnock's going to set up to really frustrate us. And they're going to look to expose our weak points down the flanks. So we're going to have to defend better. But I think Arsenal are going to win the game 2-0.
Okay. Soph?
I think Cardiff, if we can't beat Cardiff convincingly, we've got problems. This is going to be the game where I panic. This will be the game where I fear for the rest of the season, because we have to be able to beat a team that's come up and supposedly is the worst of the promoted teams. And also, Neil Warnock can be a total tosspot, and so I would love it if we beat him, because he can be rude and everyone lauds him just like they do Sam Allardyce for promoting teams and saving them from relegation. And what else have they done in football? So I fancy a 4-1 for the Gunners. And if I've been rude to Neil Warnock, I don't apologise for it.
Okay. Love it, Sof.
Okay. Well, let's go. Dave.
Yeah, I'm pretty much of that ilk. I think if we don't beat Cardiff, I'll be uber disappointed. They're the worst side I've seen. But we know what Warnock does, and he organises his team, and he'll play the most horrible game, and it will show the weak characters in our side. If it don't go right for them, and it's not a nice game, and they don't really want to play, it could turn out bad. But I think I can't see Cardiff scoring. I've looked at their stats, and they don't do nothing in the final third. Their opportunities and chances are low, especially at home. Lots from outside the box, lots of hopeful stuff. And I'm going 2-0 Arsenal.
Oh, so you and Kev are 2-0, Sof's 4-1. Unfortunately, because it's Neil Warnock, I'm going 1-1. I know what you're saying, Dave, about them not scoring, but this is Arsenal here. No one thought West Ham were going to score yesterday. So my prediction for Sunday is 1-1, unfortunately.
Well, you look at Cardiff played Newcastle at home a couple of weeks ago. Mm. They had 12 shots in the game.
Yeah.
Only one shot was on target. And seven of them were from outside the box. Just hopeful chances. And Newcastle had lots of chances. They had six on target in total, just in that game. So I can see Arsenal scoring, and I just can't see Cardiff getting any. But it's going to be a frustrating day, I think, and the players are going to have to show a bit of character.
But I'd love Arsenal to get back-to-back wins. That's what I would
Yeah,
really
we
like.
Need yeah, that, important. Don't we? We do need that.
Totally.
Yeah. And a clean sheet totally. For the defenders. A clean sheet just to give them a bit of confidence and, you know, and they can pick up from there.
Definitely.
Okay, well, It's been brilliant, and I've loved the discussions. I've loved sitting back listening. Dave, you are so welcome to come on again. Honestly, it's just been a pleasure having you on.
Cool.
We normally are a little bit calmer when we don't discuss Bellerin, but those two weren't too bad tonight. So you're definitely welcome
back.
Well,
I know Sophie loves his ponytail. That's what it is, and she just can't look past it. And those lovely, she loves his fashion sense.
It's true. I'm a fashionista, and Bellerin is my boy. Yeah, it's that ponytail.
I'd rather
it's how he's modelled himself on Zlatan. So,
I'd rather him be good in defence than good in clothes. But hey ho, that's me.
Never gonna happen.
I know.
Okay. Do your job, Bellerin.
Right, Super Kev. Thank you so much for coming on and tormenting me. I've really had a fantastic hour with you. It's been lovely, as per usual.
But Amanda, I did disagree with you being a Scouser.
But you caveat.
You thought I was going to agree.
I did actually. So I bow to you, Kevin. Thank you so much for telling.
Have you forgot the caveat he added onto that as well?
I know he did. I know.
That's because you already.
Yeah, but she knows that's true.
Because every time I've got to say it, I'm not saying it again.
Come on, Ray.
Mills and Boone, you two. Come on, just get together.
Mills and Boone.
No. Hey, listen. Oh. There's gonna be a show for Amanda, apparently.
No, there isn't gonna be a show for me.
Yeah, Walter
it's
Welbeck.
Not about
you and
me.
Walter Welbeck.
Thank you.
Love story.
No,
boring.
Thank
Very
you.
Akil, you got to mention Akil as well.
Oh, he does. Akil does have a bit of a crush as well. I mean, at first I thought Akil was my boy, but it turns out he's your boy.
He's our boy.
You know.
He loves the Highbury squad. Anyway, moving on. Let's hope we get a win against Cardiff and we get back here next week talking about another win. As Kev said, back-to-back wins. We'd love you. I thank you all for listening and for your questions. Sorry if we didn't get to read them all out, but I felt it was really intriguing listening to the three of them talk. Welcome to
Amanda.
Hello?
Can I just say something? Yeah. Like, honestly, David Hillier has been one of my favourite guests.
Oh, look at that, David.
Nice.
And I'm going bald as well. I haven't got hair. I'll take that as a right compliment. Oh. Thank you very much.
You know
it's been great.
Balding men are smashing it, Jason Statham, just saying.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's like what's from the neck down that's important, and that's still tidy.
That's right. There you go.
Can we just get back to can I just get back to being professional for about 10 seconds, please?
No.
Are you just going to chat everybody up that comes onto our pod? Thank you.
Right. Sure, fine. I will.
Let's get back to Arsenal and back-to-back wins. And thank all our listeners for listening and tweeting us on the Highbury squad. And go into Instagram and Facebook and everybody else, everywhere else. And it would be really lovely when you listen to the pods that you leave us a comment on YouTube, Acast, whatever it is, iTunes.
Acast.
I don't even know what it is.
iTunes. Acast. There you go.
It would be lovely to hear from you. And I would just like to thank you all for coming out and chatting to us. I love everybody listening to us, everybody tweeting us. It's brilliant because we all want the same thing. We always want Arsenal to win. And on that note, it's always Arsenal.
Welcome to the Highbury squad. You can follow us on Twitter at Highbury squad. In fact, it's the same on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and eventually iTunes. Join me, Sophie, aka at Soccer Diva, Amanda, aka at Guna Girl 1969, and our very special guest, Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. It's just like being down the pub with your mates.